Warning. This entire podcast contains induction and deepener materials. This will not always be the case, but this week showcases fractionation inductions, where the entire intention is to fragment the induction portion of the trance with brief raises from trance state between. This implies that the weariness of the mind, and faith in the hypnotist's speaking technique, will drag the unwary listener back down anyway. Combined with numbers and finger snaps, it can really be quite pleasant. Make sure you're listening in a safe place, and you've gone to the bathroom, turned off all notifications, taken a drink of water, and otherwise gotten situated. And welcome to the Succubus Podcast. This week's topic is fractionation, a standard induction and deepener technique used to assist people in going under. You may know of this technique if you've ever had a hypnotist instruct you to focus on a spot on the wall, let your eyes close once, reopen them again, close them again, and so on and so forth, allowing them to become drowsier and more relaxed each time. In this case, I'm asking you to do the same. Get yourself comfortable. Of course, relaxation for trance may be the most natural thing in the world by this point. If you have any experience at all, you're familiar with the slow sinking of the limbs, the tingling of the body, the feeling of tension simply oozing away, sublimating away. Only necessary things remain when you're in trance. Accordingly, when you're asked to go deep, when you're asked to situate yourself and sink, your body and brain start to adopt processes that take you there. Then, when that process is interrupted, there are many different avenues the hypnotist can take. These are the different types of fractionation. There are, of course, as many as there are hypnotists, but there are three that I classify in my head and do tend to use. The first is where you take someone deep. So, for example, 10, sink down, 9, 8, and you might accelerate the countdown, 5, 4, this gives the sense of things moving forward more quickly than the sub is used to, 2, 1, sleep. And then, if a person has reached the point where they're so deeply relaxed that their entire body is a peaceful haven for pleasure, then I might say, okay, now we're going to discuss relaxation from a position of full wakefulness. So I might say, please rise up for me. Sit up if you can, or otherwise allow your eyes to open. And at this point, I choose between the three different branches. One way would be to say, all right, now that you're fully awake, we're going to repeat that process, but more slowly so you can hear all the numbers this time. And I'd go 10, 9, 8. Notice I've taken out the intervening phrases between 7 words, 6. So, 5, 4. I've added a snap on each one as well. 3, 2, 1. Which of those countdowns took longer? The one that included all the numbers? Or the one that included about, well, 2/3 of them? Realistically, the first one included brief bridging phrases between many of the numbers. The second one was just a steady sleep, 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 but with numbers instead. Now, the other type of fractionation I could utilize would be to say, all right, go ahead and try to rise up. Notice I use try to, setting up the neurolinguistic expectation that you might fail. Then I say something along the lines of, now you may notice at this point that your eyelids are extremely heavy. And even though this could carry you back into trance, I'm nonetheless going to ask you to attempt to rise up. Your musculature may ease down into a tensionless void, because the pleasure of going deep is so profound. And this, of course, is a rational expectation of your subconscious mind, which wants you to be pleasured and have more relaxing, fun times in your days. Nonetheless, I'll ask you to go upward. I will ask you to, for example, not sleep. 3, 2, 1... The mind ignores the not. It has a tendency to ignore that negative unless it's phrased a very specific way. You will not remember something pretty much ensures that someone will remember it. However, you will lack retention of the ability to access this information later, or simply, you will perhaps allow this information to fade away like a fading dream. Those kind of things are phrased more appropriately. The brain will pick up on them, less likely to be contrary, and far more likely to be accessible later. So, with that in mind, we'll discuss sinking, drifting, enjoying. I mentioned a third type of fractionation. This one is simply what I come to think of as sine wave. You go up and you go down. So, we'll start from the beginning. 10, sink for me. Allow your body and brain to fall away. Allow everything about your situation to fade. 9 and 8. 7 and 6. 5 and 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. And down. You've now gone down. But let's decide to take you a little deeper. Now that we've finished the first countdown, the third type of fractionation would suggest, okay, let's go down 10, 9, 8. You sink and relax, and your entire body and mind seem to fall away. 7, leaving only blankness. 6. You know what? Maybe we don't need to go down quite so far. Let's go back up a little. 7. Just a little. 8. You're still deeply hypnotized. This is the second countdown, after all. 9. But maybe the deepness we were relaxing you to would be too deep, too dark, too far down. You know what? No, I'd like you deeper. 8. Sink for me. 7. Slip down. 6. Fall into control and relaxation. 5. Accessing vistas of the mind normally inaccessible. 4. You know what? No, I wanted you at the last level. 5. Up just a little bit. 6. Up a little more. You know what? Wouldn't it feel so good to just get to the end of this and sink for me? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Sleep. Down. By the end, it's such a relief that you want to drift. And I'm sure you'll retain everything that follows. We'll now take a brief break from our regularly scheduled induction after a few more words. 10, 9, sink, 8. And now for some site announcements. Firstly, the revamp of the catalog proceeds apace. I know I've been adding many new sections, but I'm starting to do 10 of the entries a day and fixing them up to fully new quality. This means brief teaser blurbs with read more links, and easy interconnection between similar pieces within the catalog. I'll be adding a tag cloud and a series page allowing people to find, for example, all the panties files, all the stocking files, all the chastity files in the same place, even if they're not part of a lesson set. Lesson sets will also be expanding over the next 2 months. Now, the Patreon campaign has recently changed. I've gained the ability to charge people up front. This means people can no longer dine and dash by accessing 6, 5, my campaign, and yet running off with everything and then canceling their pledge. Now, since people are charged instantly, I'm also completely comfortable sending out my rewards instantly and a link to the backer folder. 3. I'm doing live sessions now, both ones people pledge for, and ones with my friends and partners. With the permission of various people, depending on how they feel on a given day, I'm going to record interesting sessions and examples. I've got the first one done. These will be recorded in the moment, with only my side of the conversation being recorded for everyone else to enjoy. Put yourself in the position of someone who's gotten a live session, basically. I'm going to be putting them up under Live Session Chronicles, linked from the front page, and the first one will go up sometime next week. Memory is an interesting aspect of fractionation. It's easier to help people remember things because you can gesture to the lucid moments they had, the times when they were drifting upward, and you can just say, please file all useful information from the time you were deep, deep down, under one of those rising periods, allowing you to retain it more easily. So, now I'm going to share with you a piece from a file I've been working on. The file in question is You Can Forget That, a simple amnesia-inducing, pseudo-poetic, rhythmic piece. It speaks to people who are used to my live session cadence, and hopefully they'll like it. I think everyone else will, too. Memory. The nature of memory, the mind retaining. We use words to call for it. We say dreamlike. We say drifting. We say that you will have the capacity to simply decide to not access something later. But also, I would like you to retain the key, to know that you have the ability to remember, but also the ability to consign the entire contents of what follows, of what flows, of what comes after, to the simplicity of a memory forgotten, a vacant dream, a thing that slips away like ether, the malleable, waiting nature of thought. And those thoughts flow into you and through you, and they exist, and those of them which constitute programming and conditioning remain in your cognition long enough to send you tumbling into my control, down into deep places, down into places that are good for you and relaxing, pleasurable, and retained. But that a thing is retained in your mind does not mean it need be accessible. A thing may be accessible to you only with considerable effort or desire. So if you feel the real need to remember what we've said here, to remember what has happened to your mind in the words that follow, certainly you may access it. Certainly you may be reminded of it. But if it's equally pleasurable to you, especially if you fetishize it, to allow the memory to fade away, that is what will be. Now I'm going to tell you about a story I've been working on. It's called Berries. The synopsis is that a young woman who happens to steal valuables, is casing a large house before a fancy society party, because she intends to steal certain objects she's been asked to obtain. She goes in and finds it, a bracelet with large rubies. She makes her way out, but not before stopping by the buffet table to maintain her cover, and eating some strange berries that set her tumbling, red juice trailing from her fingertips. The berries are divine, and she meant it quite literally. The moment one drop of juice, one bit of jewel-bright flesh, came to her lips, she fell to her knees, spread slightly. Someone bustled over to see if she was all right, but all she could think of was the heat, the ache between her legs, the desire to satiate it with someone else, upon someone else, the urge to pin the nearest nubile flesh to a table and play. But that desire faded just as quickly, and she tucked the rest of the handful of berries in her purse, found her way out the door, was triumphant as someone ushered her out, wondering if she'd entered a swoon or fell from the heat. Triumph. Brief, however much it may be. And indeed, that is the case. Turns out the buyer falls through. And the bracelet starts leaving little note cards around the room, demanding tasks be done, for what turns out to be a sentient and cursed piece of jewelry, controlling the pliable individual through the administration of addictive, delicious berries with a sexual component. And things get more complicated when her friend accidentally eats that day's ration of berries, and, well, she finds herself wanting to submit to said longtime friend. And that's what I've been doing lately. And I found that image particularly alluring. It's actually where I got the story from. The idea of her kneeling, a dark-haired, svelte young thing, legs spread wide, no chaste pew kneel, but instead a thrilling, exposing urge, and only social obligation keeping her hand from darting between her legs. And that's what I've been working on lately, too. One deep drift. Listen, the idea of the fractured induction, the thing laid out over time, but your mind is waiting for it like the other shoe, waiting for it like the last number of the combination, waiting for it like the twist at the end of the TV show season. Waiting, and all the more powerful for being anticipated, all the more potent for being laid out for you. In an intelligent, interesting way, interspersed with things you quite want to listen to. But doesn't it really make you aware of how much you enjoy trancing? That what you were really waiting for was the snap.